This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. I've heard myths about the Mothman, a creature that comes around when something bad is about to happen. But where did this myth originate from, and is there any truth to it? Author and crypto investigator Lauren Coleman is going to join me to talk about the legend of the Mothman. Thanks for joining me, Lauren.
Good to be here.
Before we get into the Mothman, tell me about yourself. How did you get into cryptozoology?
Well, I began in cryptozoology in 1960. I saw a movie on the Yeti of the Himalaya, and I really wondered what was going on with that movie. So I went to school the next week, and I asked my teachers, what is this about the abominable snowman? And they gave me three answers. They don't exist. Get back to your studies. Leave me alone. So I got very interested in what was the mystery behind this phenomena that I never read about in many of my books at school. And one thing led to another. I got interested in the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and Mothman and all of these creatures. And started writing about it, started writing books. I was interviewed on TV. And then in 2003 began the first museum in the world on cryptozoology. So one thing led to another.
Wow. How much science and research is involved in cryptozoology, or is this all like field research?
It's a combination of both. I've done a lot of field research. Most people that are interested in cryptozoology have some kind of background in science. For instance, I have an undergraduate degree in anthropology and a minor in zoology. And then I went on to get a graduate degree in psychiatric social work and took some, entered two doctoral programs on anthropology and sociology. I didn't get my PhD because I actually started a family and decided to be a full-time father instead of absent graduate student. So, life experiences and field work and schooling has been very helpful in this field.
So for you, what are you an expert in when it comes to, I guess, the creatures?
Well, cryptozoology is really the study of unknown or hidden animals. And so the whole combination of folklore, eyewitness sightings, field forensics, evidence are all very important. So it's really a way of being a detective in the animal sciences, and that's really what I've become.
Oh, wow. I'm just curious, what's some of your favorite investigations that you've done?
Since I've been doing this since 1960, almost every day is different, but I investigated the thing that is called the Dover Demon in Dover, Massachusetts in 1977. I've been all over the southern United States investigating ape-like creatures. I've actually traveled to every state in the United States. Even more frequent than the Bigfoot reports are Black Panther reports. And so the mystery cat reports are sometimes the most fascinating because people actually take it for granted that these creatures that they see are real and that they are already verified by science, when in fact biology doesn't verify them yet. There are not supposed to be any Black Panthers in the United States.
Oh, wow. So the reason you're here today is to tell me, could you elaborate a little bit about the legend of the Mothman?
Sure. Mothman is a very specific name for a creature seen in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. It really developed a kind of an explosion of reports in 1966 and 1967. People were identifying and seeing creatures that were about 6 feet tall, had a huge wingspan, and would chase cars down the road between 60 and 100 miles an hour. And so it became such a frequent thing that over 200 people in that area of West Virginia saw the creature. An investigator named John Keel came came around and started interviewing people. And the newspapers, it was really first called The Big Bird. And then there was a newspaper headline writer who was a fan of the Batman series on TV. And he decided to call, in a headline, call this creature Mothman. It has nothing to do with insects or moths or anything like that. It's just one of those newspaper names that stuck. Because there are actually creatures like this seen in other parts of the country, in southern Alaska and Washington State and throughout the South. They're oftentimes just called thunderbirds or giant birds of some kind. And yet Mothman became very important. The book, The Mothman Prophecies, came out of the experiences because what happened in exactly 13 months after the report started, the Silver Bridge collapsed over the Ohio River, and 47 people died in that accident. And it became really tied to the Mothman, almost like a banshee or some kind of predictive creature that forewarned the collapse of the bridge. So people in their minds started being very fearful of the sightings and really connected the two.
So is the Mothman connected to bad omens, or it was just bad coincidence?
Well, I think what's different in my new book called Mothman Evil Incarnate, I really started noticing and seeing that out of the 1960 reports, people, as opposed to Bigfoot or giant snakes or sea serpents or Loch Ness Monster, this is a creature that has an aura around it of fear and terror that's much different than most monster sightings that you hear about in the United States. So yes, Mothman definitely has this banshee prophecy predictive connection to it that you don't hear about or even experience with other monsters. And what I started noticing after the movie in 1966, when these sightings came about, nobody could imagine that in the year 2002, Richard Gere would star in a movie called The Mothman Prophecies, which would retell all of the story from the 60s. And then coming out of that movie, people connected to the movie started dying. Actors, executive producer, the director's wife died very mysteriously. So whereas most movies like Poltergeist and other movies supposedly like The Exorcist have curses, but you count up the number of people that actually die in those curses, it's between 4 and 6 people. Well, I started counting the people connected to the Mothman prophecies that had been dying. And for this new book that I did just this year, there's a death list in there of 100 individuals connected to Mothman and the Mothman movie that have died. So yes, there seems to be some kind of connection there. And now we know it very much has been connected to the city of Chicago.
Wow. Going back to the 1966 reports, everybody was doing the sightings of them. Was it group sightings, or was this just single people, like, you know, one person saw it in their backyard and everybody was like, oh yeah, it could have been something? Or was this like 5 people and they all saw the same thing?
That's what's kind of interesting. You oftentimes get these single reports from, Bigfoot or other creatures. With Mothman, the first major sighting was of 5 individuals in a car. Then you start digging around and finding out that there was even more reports before that about a Navy, National Guardsmen. A whole group of National Guardsmen were working in a field, and they saw it. Some people in another car saw the Mothman, so it was definitely groups of people. After the first sightings that got in the paper, even unbeknownst to the paper and the media, you had another group of individuals, 4 individuals who saw the creature. They were standing on their porch, and it landed on the roof. So you got these reports from groups of people who all saw the same thing, who described it to the local law enforcement individuals. Then the law enforcement people would come investigate. A couple of police officers would hear or see the Mothman. So it just kept being passed along. That's why to have in one small community 200 individuals in the community see the creature within 1 year became extraordinary. You know, the son of the mayor, police officers, different individuals and families. It just wasn't a single individual who may have been hallucinating. It was actually groups.
Oh, wow. What about in other parts of the world? Or is it just in North America that we see Mothman?
No, there are different winged creatures, or we sometimes, you know, to be funny, call them winged weirdies, that are seen, you know, in Russia. They've been seen in South America, and so they're seen around the world. It's just obviously the American media picked up on these 1960 reports and tend to repeat other sightings that they hear around the United States and Canada more frequently than they do around the world.
The winged weirdies, do they like precede bad omens too in other parts of the world or no?
Not as much as around the whole Mothman in West Virginia. The unfortunate thing about the movie in 2002, it was a fictionalized version of the real story. So the movie's based on reality, based on the true telling, but they made it contemporary. They took different parts of people's personalities and put it in Richard Gere and some other of the actors. So it wasn't a documentary, and it wasn't even a very straightforward docudrama. So because of that, the movie then started fictionalizing things, like saying that there had been, whenever Chernobyl had melted down over in Russia, they said that people had seen Mothman before that, or that the hurricanes in Texas had been preceded by a Mothman sighting. Those were fictional add-ons to the movie that now people think are real. And so part of my job has been in the years since that movie is to try to correct some of the fictionalized myths that have come about because of that movie.
Oh, what horrible luck. A movie that puts it out there in the spotlight, but it gets everything wrong.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Let's hope they don't make a Mothman 2 then, right? Or did they?
No, they haven't. Well, there's been lots of copycats, but nothing like that was a major motion picture production with Laura Linney and Deborah Messing and Richard Gere, so it had some big actors in it.
Has there been any current sightings of Mothman recently?
What happened in 2017 is there's a lot of sightings in the Chicago area.
Ooh.
And people have talked about the Chicago Mothman.
Tell me about the Chicago Mothman. Where can I find him at? I want to go see him.
There have been over 50 sightings in the Chicago area, usually on the north side and the lakeshore area.
Ooh.
Which makes it a little... So a lot of us investigators are a little skeptical of the Chicago Mothman because they've been described as everything from a kite in the sky to a blackbird to a dirigible to blimps and people saying they've seen something perched in trees. So it's almost as opposed to the West Virginia cases that all seem to be describing the same thing. Mothman in Chicago has been pretty diverse, and we're pretty skeptical of most of the sightings. In fact, what really has been bothering a lot of the investigators about the Chicago sighting is it's a heavily urban area, as you know, and on almost every other corner in an urban area, including Chicago, is you have closed caption TV. And yet nobody has come up with any video, with any good pictures. And the law enforcement agencies of the city haven't really been called on to investigate the sightings because, you know, if something like a mugging or a burglary or somebody trying to break apart an ATM, there's all immediately some video of that incident. So if somebody's, even a group of people saying, oh, black object flying into a tree, you know, on Lakeshore Drive, it seems like we could get video of that, and none has been forthcoming.
I love that you're talking about video evidence. Have you noticed since the time that you've started to now that the accuracy of sightings have dwindled because now it's a, unless you have a picture, it didn't happen kind of scenario?
Yes and no, because actually one of the worst case scenarios is that there's so many YouTube videos that are hoaxes. Our hope that more cameras, more cell phones, and more actual videos in existence would mean more evidence. And in fact, what has occurred is there's more fake evidence.
Mm.
So there are people still out there saying they see things, but they're not backed up any better. And now there's good evidence. There's a lot more hoaxes and a lot more deceptions going on. People think it's funny, but of course for us individuals that are in the field that are seriously, scientifically, and skeptically trying to investigate, it's actually the opposite occurring. The evidence, visual evidence, is actually more detrimental because most of it's hoaxing.
Right. I'm a little curious, going back to the 1966 sightings, one of the things I remember watching in some documentary was that the Men in Black, that's where the whole ideology of the Men in Black came from, this Mothman scenario. Did you find anything about the Men in Black when you were doing research?
Oh, sure. The Men in Black actually went back probably about 20 years before the Mothman sightings. It's just that John Keel, who was writing about the Mothman, very much got involved in these Men in Black investigations and actually coined the word Men in Black. There were reports of three individuals or one individual's harassing witnesses and acting like they were from some secret government agency long before Mothman. But because that became such a big deal during the Mothman cases, most people now know them as part of the phenomena. The thing is, with the Mothman case, there were so many diverse, strange and unknown phenomena going on at the same time. There was the Men in Black, there were Bigfoot sightings, there were cattle mutilations.
Oh, wow.
There was, it was almost as if somebody had dropped LSD on the town of Point Pleasant and everybody was seeing every bizarre thing under the sun.
That must have been a very scary time. I wouldn't know what to do personally.
Yeah, it was very, very scary, but also very confusing to a lot of us investigating because, just everything was happening so much so, and people were really terrified. They were saying things like Men in Black were trying to pull them out of the car, or they were seeing one creature, and dogs were disappearing and ending up dead. It was scary for some people.
So this all took place in what, a year and a half, 2 years?
13 months. 13-month period. The bridge collapsed on December 15th, and exactly 13 months before that was the first sighting. And the bridge, unfortunately, had stoplights at each end, and they both froze on red lights. And there was some heavy trucks full of rocks on the bridge, and the bridge just collapsed. And it was a very spooky scenario because when they did the investigation of why the bridge collapsed, it was I-bar 13 that had broken. And so this whole superstitious business about the number 13 and 13 months and the I-bar 13, and then the reporter, Mary Heyer, who had been really reporting that and was a good friend of John Keel, she died exactly 26 months after the bridge collapsed, very young at the time, you know, 52 years old, and had died of a mysterious illness that came up very quickly. So there was this whole notion that the Mothman, everything surrounding it, was bad luck and, you know, all of that.
Has Point Pleasant ever had any other odd incidents afterwards?
Unbeknownst to most people, the Mothman sightings have continued.
Oh, wow.
It's just after the collapse of the bridge, people didn't run down to the newspaper and talk about it. Most people have whispered it amongst themselves and quietly talked to each other about how the Mothman is still around. And it wasn't until after the movie came out in 2002, the next year, that the town really decided to embrace Mothman. And they now have an annual Mothman festival, and they have a Mothman museum. And this was a river city, Ohio River City, that was really dying, dying on the vine. And what occurred, because the city decided not to be ashamed of Mothman, it's now a cottage industry, and it's really brought the city back to life.
Oh, wow. Before I let you go, I just have to ask you this, and this is off the subject. What's the difference between Sasquatch, a Yeti, Bigfoot, and the Abominable Snowman?
Well, the word Yeti and Abominable Snowman, those are the same creature.
Okay.
And according to Americans have been brainwashed because of one movie called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They think the Yetis are all white, but the actual native peoples in Tibet, Nepal, Bhutan, in other words, the Himalayas and Asia, know that the Yetis are brown, black, and reddish-brown. But the Yetis tend to be ape-like creatures that are kind of hunched over and can actually run around on all fours. And they have a foot, a bottom foot, that is shaped, is like your hand. In other words, there's a toe that goes out to the side.
Hmm.
And it's very much an anthropoid, gorilla, chimpanzee-like foot. So they're a creature that's really much more ape-like.
Okay.
The Bigfoot and Sasquatch is different words for the same creature.
Yeah.
Sasquatch, as a name, came about from a journalist in Canada who invented it in 1929. And Sasquatch really was the Canadian Bigfoot for all of those years until the word Bigfoot came into popular usage in 1958 in California. Because the American media is so powerful, most people now, all around the world, whether it's a Yeti or a Chinese Yeren or an Australian Yowie, most people in the media call all of these creatures Bigfoot, even though they are really different types and different species, it seems. Bigfoot has become the dominant word. But the Bigfoot and the Sasquatch are the same creature, but the Bigfoot Sasquatch are very different than Yetis and the Abominable Snowmen.
Well, thank you so much for that. I was thinking about that as you were talking, and I'm like, this is the guy to ask.
Yep.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
The best way is to go to our website for the International Cryptozoology Museum. It's the world's only cryptozoology museum in Portland, Maine. And the website is cryptozoologymuseum, all one word, .com. And they can read all about the museum, all about cryptozoology. And it has contact information for myself, Lauren Coleman, the director. And I hope I see all those folks from Chicago and all across the United States out in Maine visiting and talking to me.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.